11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp up in St. Joe. Drew Nixon producing the show at our studios back down in KC. Final show for us up here in St. Joe for camp. Last padded practice. Tomorrow they'll have a light practice and also Military Appreciation Day. And then they will break camp, head back to Kansas City. And then on Friday they head to Tampa. They'll hop on a flight to Tampa. They'll play Saturday night in Tampa, preseason game number two. Our training camp coverage is presented by Break Time. Whether fueling up or grabbing a snack on the way to training camp, Break Time reminds you not all convenience stores are the same. Download their app and find a location near you. We are expected at some point, hopefully in the next 10 to 20 minutes-ish, to hear from George Karloftis as practice should wrap up here momentarily. We'll also hear from Chiefs defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. But let's talk about Patrick Mahomes a little bit. We all know when it comes to anything you could have possibly have dreamt of in terms of watching him at practice in training camp, he's done it. It's been It has been unbelievable just to see his recovery. You've now probably at this point in time seen plenty of video of how he looks, and if you didn't know he had an ACL, an LCL injury, you really would not know, especially now that the brace is under the pads and under the pants.
Like, you can't
even
see
the brace. You really can't. So he looks phenomenal. Other than the obvious, which is Patrick Mahomes,
because nobody can have their quarterback.
Who do you think's the next most valuable guy on this offense?
I was thinking this partially because the Chargers suffered yet another offensive line injury. And, like, offense and defense is interesting to me. On offense, I feel like it's a harder answer. On defense, I think it's fairly obvious to me. The answer is Chris Jones. What would you do? Like, genuinely, how would you even get a pass rush if he wasn't available anymore? You're just going to scrap it together? Hope Peter Woods is a goods immediately? That's a nightmare scenario. I think on defense, it is him, or maybe the Nick Bolton types, because
he's the second name for me. Then Mansoor Delane after that, or Karloftis.
And so I think there's a few answers you can make a slight argument for. I think the answer is Chris Jones, but Nick Bolton would probably be second for me on the defensive end. On offense, I think there's a much bigger debate, and I think it's Ken Walker. Despite the fact I've never actually watched him play a single snap in a game, I think their entire offensive offseason game plan surrounds a guy who can actually make a big play. And if all of a sudden they were down to Emmett Johnson and DeMarcado, the drop-off is significant between that and Breshard Smith and Ken Walker. And I've watched them try to struggle when guys like Pacheco weren't available and it went down to the depths. And I think it might be Ken Walker, even more than Rice or somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to agree with you on this, but it seems like it would be boring. But I will tell you, I 100% think the answer is Kenneth Walker as well. Not only, as you said, is their offensive plan from this offseason to involve the running back more clearly, they also haven't had a running back like this in years. The way Patrick Mahomes has brought up number nine has been, I think, very noticeable as well. The way Travis Kelce has talked about Ken Walker. So there's no doubt. I think he's the answer after Mahomes. After that, you're probably back into still, once again, Travis Kelce, even if I think the offense shouldn't run through him anymore. I think we all recognize the rest.
Kelce second?
It's because of the rest of the tight ends.
After
that, you're down to Noah Gray, Jared Wiley, maybe Jake Brenningstuhl, our guest from yesterday. I mean, that's your tight end room.
What about Simmons, though? What about
our lineman? He would have been the next name. Then I probably would have said Rice. Go ahead.
I was going to say number one for me is Josh Simmons, actually, because – you're telling me that Jalen Moore, who has been sketchy at least in camp, and then Benson is actually playing right, I would not want to be in a situation where the potential for, regardless of the weapons, Mahomes is getting hounded from day one immediately, or whenever it were to happen. That would scare me more than
that's a great answer
than Kenneth Walker getting hurt.
Yeah, no, that's a phenomenal answer as well. I think Josh Simmons, we saw last year when they were down to backup tackles, what that did for this entire offensive line. And that's why I think people got nervous yesterday when we saw the back injury news around Simmons, although once again the reporting out there suggests it's not something serious, but Simmons not practicing today. I would probably go in, if we did now, like we did our top four, I think my order would be number one Ken Walker, two Kelce, I think I'd go Simmons three, I'd go Rice four, five. I mean, at that point in time, honestly, it might be Xavier Worthy or Cyrus Allen if you're going to go with Cody's optimistic.
Or it's Jalen Moore. You know? It's the other tackle spot, or
I think
Humphrey.
I think it's Worthy.
Probably five for me.
Yeah, like, I'd probably go Worthy.
Creed would be somewhat high on my list. He's one of the best centers in the NFL. and has a rapport, doesn't miss time, is available for Mahomes, I think that would be a really tough transition. I think Simmons is two. Ken Walker, one. Simmons, two. And then it might be Creed, or it might be some other offensive.
So you don't think Travis is in the top four?
Travis
or five
is important.
For
there's no doubt he is in the top five. If I was making a list, he's in the top five. Rice is where it becomes interesting, because then you got to like tell yourself, well, they've been able to move the ball even when Rice is gone. So he is not. Now they're not nearly as good on offense, but they have been able to survive and win games, plenty of games in previous years without Rashee Rice. And so, like, in a weird way, it's like I know he's important, but I also.
I mean, I could use that same logic with Kenneth Walker, though. They've won plenty of games without Kenneth Walker.
That's fair. They've never played a game without him, but, like, I get your point. Because they've won plenty of games without Isaiah Pacheco.
It's clearly a way worse backfield than what they have right now.
Although I would say that those first 2 years when they were winning a lot more games was at least
good
the
Pacheco.
Best version of Pacheco.
Good Pacheco.
Not Pacheco hurt and terrible last year and the rest of the running back room behind it. I also just think that it hurts because it was a huge part of your plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know you have in Travis and all this other stuff, and it is a part of your plan, no doubt about it. But I think the entire reshaping of the offensive game plan was around the addition of Ken Walker. Simmons, too, just makes sense because then what? What if you don't have your left tackle? Then what? Then, like, they don't have any depth on the offensive line
Jalen
at all.
Moore would have to be your left tackle, and Benson would be your right tackle.
That sounds
question
like a
mark, question mark, question mark.
I'm not even sure. You know, like, can Ken Walker make good for that?
You would have two massive question marks on your tackles. It doesn't mean one of them couldn't work out, but it would be a massive question.
Drew, would you argue anyone besides Chris Jones on defense? Would you make the argument for Nick Bolton? They don't have a lot of good linebacker depth.
I think there's an argument for Nick Bolton maybe after Mansoor and after Chris Jones. Because I think Mansoor is important enough, obviously, where if he's not there, then you're relying on, I mean, it would be probably Chris Wolin Wallace or somebody like that, or Snead, I suppose.
Snead but, and Noel Williams.
I think you can make an argument for Nick Bolton just because of the trust that Spags has in him to run the defense, essentially.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know who that would be next up if that was Tranquil would switch over or what the case would be. I think there's an argument for Bolton for sure.
Bolton's missed a little bit of time. I can't remember who wore the green dot when he was out, though. I feel like it was Tranquil.
It had to have been, right? It wasn't Leo. It wasn't Leo. It probably was Tranquil.
Because Nick Bolton, he plays linebacker, so I just feel like linebacker's missing a game or two.
I think Noel Williams and Karloftis would round out the top five on defense for me, where it would be Jones or Delane, one or two, Karloftis, and also Bolton, and then I would include Noel Williams in there as well.
I think that's a good list. My only question, he's probably not on mine yet, but I wonder if we would change our tune like 5 or 6 weeks from now. I wonder if Tonga or Woods ends up being on our list there,
because
I have a feeling they're going to be able to shut down the run a lot better this year. We might say, no, those guys have changed the entire run defense, Tonga in particular in that scenario. But I wonder if those are two guys that I think I'd have a chance, if we were to redo this exercise on defense in about a month, month and a half, we might all of a sudden say one of those guys.
Well, because they have both of them, it's like, weirdly, if they got hurt, you'd be like, well, at least there's the other one.
No, I hear you. Different roles, but for sure.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, Tonga's going to be more the first and second down run stuffing guy. Third downs, I think, is when we'll see a ton of Peter Woods, at least early in his career. As things evolve, he can end up being closer. No, there's no, like, Tonga and Woods are never going to be an every down player. That's just not the position. But, I'd be interested to see how they split that up.
Yeah, it's – I don't know how they're going to do it. I still think it's going to be first and second down. Tonga, third down, Woods on more occasions. Now, I do think that, obviously, I think they'll end up with a very even number. We're talking all these injuries. Jeff Caldwell went up earlier in the cart. Obviously, he hasn't made a big impact in here. You and I had spent a lot of time. I don't know how much time because the Chiefs were bad this year. We spent a lot of time talking drafts, and I thought there were two things of note of players that the Chiefs fans were interested in at number 9, but eventually ended up turning into number 6. They were interesting. One was a video of Reuben Bain being a football maniac and working 30 minutes after practice, literally by himself, up against the dummy because he's not going to be a bad football player from a lack of effort. Let's say that. If for some reason it doesn't work out for Reuben Bain, it'll be talent, not effort. I think we know that. We've understood that. And so, of course, people are like, damn. He was really good in the preseason game, so it stood out. But the other guy we spent a lot of time on, talking about wide receiver.
We'll see Reuben Bain Saturday.
Yeah. Speaking of a lot of guys we've seen lately, is Jordan Tyson's already hurt. Already hurt. Everybody didn't deny the talent the man possessed. Is that he was never healthy. And I got Ian Rapport trying to tell me it's not the same hamstring injury as the one last year. What do you mean? It's his third straight hamstring injury in which he's missed time. Those are related. Whether it's the same injury or he injured it again.
Got to be one of them.
They're related. The man's got bad hamstrings. he is unavailable to play. It feels like they've already dodged a bullet there.
It's a bummer, you know, for him and for the Saints. But the question for Tyson was always health. Always.
And consistently has been. Do you think that, like, fans are going to end up on the – Drew, you already feel like in the Cincinnati, were they picking high enough to take Reuben Bain?
No, they traded the pick for Dexter Lawrence, but they would have been.
So they would have been high enough if they traded.
And I would have wanted them to take Reuben Bain. I think Reuben Bain is going to be really good, and he just looks like a man possessed.
He just looks like he's going to be one of the hardest working guys in the room. Now look, I think George Karloftis.
He's the favorite guys to be Defensive Rookie of the Year, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, he's going to be a hell of a football player. I believe
he'll be really good.
I believe we checked yesterday, wasn't it, or 2 days ago?
Yeah,
he was the Defensive Rookie of the Year favorite, him, and then David Bailey right behind him at 5-1. Bailey, of course, went way early, way earlier.
He went top three, four?
He was number two, wasn't he, to the Jets?
Two? I couldn't remember. I was like, he was early. I should remember because he was eating up our time as we were. Oh, no, he was the guy that we accidentally ran into. Was David Bailey the one?
No, you're thinking Sonny Styles was
Sonny Styles.
Of the Commanders.
David Bailey's the one who took all the time up. Sonny Styles.
Styles is the one he was ready for us to start talking to him. We had to be like, oh, actually, we don't want to talk to you.
Honestly, that was good on you to cover because we all just started leaving. And he was probably like, what the hell? We all just like me, Mackenzie Nelson, we all just started to vacate the room and be like, well, I'm not going to sit around here. That's not the guy. I'm not trying to talk to Sonny Styles. He's not the player that we want.
Did you see also, by the way, the horn just went off behind us. That means practice just wrapped up. So they're doing their stretching, which means we're 5 minutes or so away from maybe hearing from Spags and or George Karloftis. We had R. Mason Thomas on the show last week, guys.
Yeah.
And enjoyed talking to him. And remember he was saying, we were asking who's the funniest guy. And he's like, Dunny or something. And we're like, we have no idea who you're talking about. And he's like, I don't know his first name. And we looked it up, and it was Anthony Dunn. I got bad news for his buddy.
Damn.
He was the corresponding move today. When they signed Cam Jones, the Chiefs waived Anthony Dunn.
Dang.
That's tough.
I saw that name. Like, tough. Why does that name look familiar? And that's because that was the player that R. Mason said was hilarious.
Maybe he can end up being a practice squad guy, you know? Maybe R. Mason will get his boy back.
You never know. You never know, man.
It's not, you know.
Breaking news. Cam Jones officially signed by the Chiefs.
Again, former it's a special Chief. Teams move.
I know.
But it's just former Chief.
Always.
It's just it's always former Chief.
Oh, it is. Again, I think during camp it makes more sense because you don't have as much time to get someone up to speed with how you operate. But yes, it's like, man, if you have a resume line that has the Chiefs ever in it and you're an NFL player, the chances of you coming back are 80% better than any other free agent that's out there that has a similar skill set or likelihood of being signed across any other team.
Yeah, your percentage goes up no matter what. Whatever your percentage is, if it's 5%, it's now 15. If it's 1%, it's now 15. If you were 50%, you're now 75% likely to sign back with Kansas City. That's why I joked about Juju Smith-Schuster yesterday and why I still think it's possible we'll end up here. I don't think so. I think they're talking highly enough about Cyrus Allen that it's the
also,
case.
Also, would he be here? Would he be willing to be the number 5 or 6 receiver? I don't know.
I don't know.
That's what he would be, I think.
Sad or not being on a team, I guess, right now. So
he might wait until an injury happens for somebody in the NFL, too. Let's get to a quick trash of the day. All right, this is one of the better ones we've had in a bit. You may have seen this story about 13 Penn State fraternity brothers that have been charged with running a major cocaine trafficking ring. Allegedly, pledges were forced to cut and package cocaine, if I can speak, as part of their indoctrination into the fraternity. That's what they had the pledges doing. Not picking people up from the bar at 3 a.m.
Not cleaning the frat house.
No. They were cutting and packaging cocaine, allegedly. And then we found out more details. One of the leaders, the kingpin, actually.
If you will.
Uh-huh. Was dubbed Pablo Pledgecabar, which is amazing. He turned himself in and has been denied bail. This dude had a chance when he was done with college to move on. The problem is he kept doing it, I guess. He kept doing this. But the pledges didn't say anything for so long because they obviously didn't want to screw up their situation in the
what's more important, staying in the fraternity or...
I mean, you got to just, like, let some stuff – you got to tell sometimes.
And it's led to other – you know, we got the Pledgecabar, Pablo Pledgecabar. You've got Snow Paterno references people
that
are joking about.
That is insane.
Snow Paterno.
That is crazy.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's a former Sigma Chi member, the accused ringleader who's allegedly known as Pablo. Plechavar surrendered on Tuesday after missing his scheduled arraignment from the previous day. He's been arraigned on multiple felony counts, including possession with intent to deliver, cocaine, and conspiracy. Bail was denied. Let's see, what else? There's a bunch of other individuals that are named in this as well.
Sure, not just him. He's just he had the best nickname.
Yeah. The Operation Drugs Unlimited is what they called it. It was conducted with local police. The alleged conduct took place in 2023 and 2024 with at least four of the charged individuals still enrolled at Penn State right now. So, Drew, you like whiteouts. Man, they're getting a whole new meaning of whiteouts there in Happy Valley.
They've been having quite a few of those, apparently, thanks to this one fraternity. Drew, were you in a frat in school?
Absolutely not.
Someone on that text line asked if I was. I was not either. No, I was not.
Not my crowd.
I'm not, yeah.
None of us were in a frat.
I have friends who are in frats, but that's not my crowd.
Yeah. Someone says, what, guys can't have hobbies anymore?
They definitely took whiteout too literal.
Yeah, Drew, you're a big fan of the whiteout there at Penn State.
I am a big fan of the Penn State whiteout, yes.
Snow Paterno.
Maybe they were the ones supplying Kyrgios. Didn't he get suspended?
For cocaine?
For cocaine, yeah. The tennis player.
He got banned, I believe, actually, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. That is the trash
tennis
of the day.
Tennis didn't play with that stuff.
Real quick, I will point out Adam Schefter just sent out a tweet. Unfortunately, another major injury in the NFL. Not Chiefs-related, thank goodness, but Texans wide receiver Jaden Higgins suffered a torn ACL yesterday during their joint practice. So Jaden Higgins, this is we've talked about the Texans and CJ Stroud and the weapons and the issues there. We all know Tank Dell's trying to come back from his serious injury. Now Jaden Higgins, one of the second-year player now, I guess. He was a rookie last year. Devastating knee injury, out for the season. Up next, we will get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We're expected to hear from Steve Spagnuolo. Also, George Karlaftis stops by with us.
Hey, it's Evan Johnson from the Kansas City Chiefs, and welcome into the Chiefs Red Half Hour every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
We are back here in St. Joe. Practice has wrapped up, the last padded practice of Camp 2026. Here in the next couple of minutes, we're expected to be joined by George Karlaftis. Although as we look out on the field, quite the grouping, Cody. We got George Karlaftis is chatting it up with Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, Jason Kelce, who's a visitor here. And then is that Emmanuel Ogba?
I can't tell.
There's no jersey number on that on him. So I think that's Ogba, which would make sense since they all were playing in the league and played against each other in the Super Bowl with each other and against each other in Jason Kelce's case a couple years ago.
We'll have to ask Karlaftis what they were all talking about.
Yeah,
they're
now actually walking off the field. So we'll probably get Karlaftis in a couple minutes. But, yeah, we'll have to ask about that. I'm sure they hung out at the weddings. Think about it. They had Swift wedding. They also had Karlaftis wedding.
They did.
In Greece. I don't know if Travis made it to Greece or not. I know Chris Jones made it to Greece for Karlaftis' wedding. And then I'm assuming they were all at the wedding.
the wedding. You know what? Let's not downplay Karlaftis' to his face.
Oh, I'm not
although everyone got to go, like, be on a Greek island or whatever for his. So much worse weddings to attend than his.
For sure.
His looked gorgeous.
I'm sure, yeah. Greece looks beautiful. I've never been, but it looks gorgeous.
So I would assume that would at least be not the worst wedding to attend of all time as we await for, hopefully, get George Karlaftis here shortly as he's getting ready to walk off the practice field with Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, and Jason Kelce, who's up here visiting, as you
mentioned.
You think
they're recording a podcast episode today?
Oh, a little training camp New Heights? I thought they'd take a few weeks off.
Oh, I don't know. You know, it sounds like you're more into that.
Well, they
finished
their season like a month ago.
Gotcha.
But in fairness, I don't know when the new episodes start. So if they're starting this week or next week, then yeah, it could be a training camp episode. Typically, obviously, they release on Wednesday, which means they must record Monday or Tuesday, depending on the week. So I don't actually know when the new season starts up for them. But at some point, I imagine he'll pick back up. But maybe just seeing his brother. Maybe ESPN's got a little thing out here today, you know? Jason's got a job at the network.
Pat McAfee's not out there, so I don't know if that's the case.
That's the only thing that's the last place he hasn't been, I think.
If he was out there, you guys would have to try to get him on in some way, shape, or form.
Well, sure, we would try.
I want to talk about the album and everything else.
Oh, we'd play it. I would play some of Cody's songs, and I would get his thoughts. You know, he probably would try to hype you up.
I think so?
Yeah. I think he would too.
I just seem like a hype man.
I think he would try to hype you up.
Can't rule that out.
Yeah. I think that's exactly how it would play. I could see him. He wouldn't be like, oh, my album's better. I think he would say, no, that's not. He's like, we got some work to do. And I would say, well, Cody doesn't have the same producing budget as you do for your album.
Can I get your producers for
a two-hour session?
You get the same recording artist or whatever. You know, you too can have your own, you know, Pat McAfee album or something like that, as we're about to be joined by George Karloftis here on Cody and Gold. Our player interviews here on 96.5 The Fan are brought to you by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip now at stjomo.com. That's stjomo.com, as we'll get George mic'd up here in just a second. Here live from Chiefs training camp, as practice just wrapped up. Last padded practice of camp. That's got to feel pretty good for you, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I know you say you like it up here, but still, you probably like getting closer to the actual regular season as well.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So
when you look at, I guess, what were you guys chopping it up about out there? We saw Jason, Travis, Chris Jones. Were you guys just talking shop or just life?
Just seeing each other, you know. Obviously, we've gotten to know Jason just through Travis through the years and stuff like that, so just saying hello.
When you look at this season, or this offseason was big for you. You obviously got married.
Yes.
And so, I guess, going into all of that, how did all those preparations take place? What was the moment like? How did that treat your offseason differently, I guess, than you normally would?
Well, I have a great wife, and she took care of most of that kind of stuff. So it was a lot of training and stuff like that for me, and I chipped in where I could and stuff like that. But, no, it was great. You know, I just had to develop a routine and, you know, focus on the things that really matter. So it was great for me.
What was that like, having your teammates back home for you? Obviously, the wedding was in Greece, right?
Yep.
What was it like to have everybody kind of converging in one spot like that?
Oh, it was awesome. Unforgettable. So I had the best time.
When you look at, I guess, last offseason, we had mentioned it. I didn't realize it was an NFL Live interview, maybe. Up until last season, you had spent every single year of your career in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, like, you didn't realize the season ended before that moment up until that stage. How much motivation does that make this season for you?
A lot.
Knowing that that's what you got to taste at the beginning of your career.
Yeah, definitely last season, you know, sour taste in our mouths, obviously, and stuff like that. And definitely just intent on getting back to you know, the status quo for us and getting back to those, you know, to those Super Bowls, playoffs and stuff like that. And, you know, we're motivated as ever to get back there. So
last year, I think at the time we didn't realize you were playing with a hand injury and all that, but I'm assuming you feel good with that. How much do you think that impacted your performance?
Listen, I'm not making excuses for myself or for this team or anything like that. I know I just got to be better, and we got to be better going forward.
How early in the season did that start bothering you, I guess? And like, obviously it was a season-long issue, right?
No, I'm not making any excuses for it.
When you look at, I guess, what the goals are for the defensive line, you guys add new names this year. You got Peter Woods, R. Mason Thomas. How do you guys feel about your ability to get pressure this year? How good does the unit look to you during this training camp?
Well, we know it all starts with stopping the run, and we have some great additions, you know, like those rookies you mentioned, Kyrus Tonga, you know, so we have some great guys. It starts with stopping the run and earning the right to rush the passer, you know, so once we stop the run, then it's about getting the quarterback in the ground, something that we can do a lot better of, just finishing, you know, because I think we did solid in the pressures, but just, you know, just little things and details and kind of working together and really every man kind of working off of each other and stuff like that. So, you know, definitely motivated from last year. We have a lot of things that we can improve on, you know, going into this year.
When you look at, I guess, like I looked up when you were a kid, you did everything, right? Judo or water polo or any of those other things. Do you think in your post-playing career you just like pick up a sport is just like a club sport? Or is it just like when football's done, sports are done? Or do you pick up water polo? Do you pick up judo?
I don't know. I've talked with friends, you know, in Greece and stuff like that about maybe playing like on a low division water polo team or something like this. I windsurf in the summers, you know. So, you know, having some more time off, getting back to that back home would be probably what I'll probably lean into as a hobby. So
water polo. Back to goalie?
Probably windsurfing for me.
Okay.
But, you know, we'll just have to see. You know, I think that there's still some time before that happens.
When you look at, I guess, how your career and coming back to Kansas City and all this other stuff, do you have any individual goals for this season? I know that it doesn't have to be statistical, but do you set stuff out? Is that how you operate? Or
yeah,
is it
for
just
sure. For sure. I mean, to a certain extent, I think you have to have goals both as an individual, as a team. And, you know, Joe Cullen and Terry Braden, they asked, you know, for two goals. You know, this goes back to OTAs of, you know, what you want to do this season, and, you know, not necessarily statistic wise, you know, two individual goals, you know, and two team goals. And, you know, we go off of those, and each guy on the defensive line, I know for a fact, has those and works every day to get better and to hopefully achieve those.
What were the team goals?
You know, the team goals are very, very, very obvious. Win the division, win the Super Bowl. Those have to be the goals. So
I know you got to run. George Karloftis is with us here on 96.5 The Fan. If you don't mind joining your teammates who signed this helmet for charity, we'll let you go after that.
Absolutely.
George Karloftis, Chiefs defensive end, with us here on 96.5 The Fan. All our player interviews are presented by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip now at stjomo.com. That's stjomo.com here live from Chiefs training camp. We're going to hear from his defensive coordinator coming up in just a minute as well. We had to be short today with George Karloftis.
Should you and I open up the final few packs later in the show?
I guess we
Thanks
will.
Thanks to the Art of Sports?
I guess we will. I guess we'll do that, yeah.
Look, in the end, the way it works, we'll just open them now. We're having fun.
Yeah,
George,
sure. Yep.
George does have a lot of pressure this year because he's an important player for them.
Of course, we have a Chiefs player on my pack today.
We're going to open our packs first, Drew, and then we'll get to
Steve
Spagnuolo.
Grant Delpit, base. Brian Thomas Jr., base. Bryce Young, base. Jalen Royals, rookie card. George Karloftis card. You got to be kidding me.
What?
You got to be kidding me. It's not, by the way, that's not on him.
We're just frustrated.
He was brought up. It's the last day of camp, he was brought over, and we were told we had like 2 minutes with him. So anyway. That's frustrating. What else we got?
Nothing good in the first two packs so far. Right now, Bucky Irving, future power players card, which I think
Bo
is the
Nicks
same.
Card,
outside
Phil
of
Moffa, nothing in that pack.
No, nothing?
No.
I'm 0-for-2 in my packs. These are going straight to Nate Taylor's kids. That's what
the
extra
best card. Jane Daniels auto is as good as we're going to get. Ladd McConkey.
I got nothing.
Jalen Reed. That's it.
Unless you're desperate for slight variations on Devonta Smith or Cam Scataboo, you're not getting much out of these packs either. Thanks to the Art of Sports, by the way. It was really cool to get to open these packs.
Yeah, we appreciate
it. With players every
help.
Single day. It was really cool of them to help us out and gave us an opportunity to, do something kind of different with these player interviews since – we don't always get the same amount of time as we normally would. It's nice to get those guys.
A couple nice hits too. Jalen Hurts out of 50, and then the Jaden Daniels auto out of 25. You can visit the Art of Sports there in Leawood if you're someone that's been in the hobby or just trying to get started. Great spot there in Leawood. It's the place that Bobby Wood Jr. and Jack Caglione and those guys go to all the time.
Yeah, it is. They're building a room, I think, maybe for allowing those places or those guys a place to open things up. So. Very cool. The defensive line, I mean, it on paper, I think, is noticeably better, but that's paper, not in reality yet.
All right, let's go out to the podium and hear from Chiefs defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo.
You guys ready for the training camp to wrap up? Yeah, you guys ready to go? I think I've told you this, but I actually like it. Of course, Maria's back east right now, so if she was home in Kansas City, I'd want to go back to Kansas City. I don't know how we got on that, but I'll just open it up, let you all fire away. What do you got?
In the past, you kind of said that maybe you would have liked to have seen more from Jaden Hicks. We had a really nice preseason game, I guess.
Yeah.
How does he build?
He had a good game. Yeah, it was good to see. I mean, I think Jaden probably stuck out as probably played the best in that particular game. He had a really good day here on Monday. Him and I was just talking. He was a little down yesterday, and then today he made a big play in the red zone, came up with the interception. But he's kind of been on that trajectory, and he should be, and he's been in the system for a while now. And those kind of guys have put a little bit more pressure on because I expect them to know more, not make mistakes that maybe a rookie would make.
With Lane progressing, just what you see out of him as he's been able to get through
that. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a competitor. You know, we saw that on tape when we evaluated him. But, you know, like a lot of these young guys, Nick and I were just over there talking about it. You know, sometimes you got to knock some practice habits out of them. I think Mansoor is learning that. I think he's embracing it. I think the vets are pushing him toward that. It's unfortunate that he's missed all the time he's missed, but we'll try to get him caught up here. I don't know what will happen with the game. That'll be on Coach Reed. But I'm anxious to get him out there and see what we got.
Jeffrey Bosa, you just get to see a little bit more of him.
Yeah.
I
think Jeff is, second year. He's right about where you would think he would be. The one challenge he's going to have is we're going to ask him to play a lot of different spots there, which is a good thing for him because that means we got the confidence in him. But the challenge will be learning them all, kind of like what Jack Cochran has done for us a number of years. He's known every spot. Jeff will have to do the same thing.
We saw you working kind of well with him.
Yeah, it's step by step. Now we're being careful with LJ. We don't, you know, when you throw somebody out there too soon from a strength standpoint, then you run that risk of the injury. So we're trying to stay away from that. But listen, I got all the confidence in the world in LJ. I kind of know what he can do. He stays on top of it from a mental standpoint really, really well. And he's a good example for these young guys on how to prepare. So we'll keep him on that trajectory. I don't anticipate that he'll play in this game, but we'll see going forward.
Take kind of your first look at Peter Woods in that first game evaluation.
Yeah, I hope to get Pete some more reps than he had. I like Pete's demeanor. I think he's got a little bit of that alpha dog in him. Now, when you're a rookie, it's hard for that to come out, you know, because you're just feeling your way through. But he's got a serious tone about him that I really, really like. And, of course, you know all the physical things he's got. So hopefully we can ramp him up, get him some more reps in this game and see what we got.
So you spent a little quick moment with Jason Kelce out there.
Yeah.
Just what was that
experience? I think Jason's great. Him and I used to talk a lot about the, you know, coordinator center battle when we used to go against each other. And he's great. He's into it. I remember that one. He did this. And I said, I remember when you got us on that one. I'm a big fan. He lives out there in the, outside of Philadelphia. And we go back there a lot. I had a chance to play golf with him this summer. And I look forward to maybe doing that again sometime. They're just good people, those Kelces, right? How can you not want to be around them?
We're going to go last three, Brogdon, Matt,
and Nick. Steve, Andy's so understated publicly in a lot of ways, but obviously a great competitor. I just wonder what maybe you've seen in him in terms of the intensity and messaging since the way last season went, and how he's responded to that.
Yeah, pretty much like you would think Andy would. Listen, we're all pretty prideful people, and, you know, we got really used to winning here, and last year was a little bit different. You know, we're trying not to go through that again. I think every one of us, Andy included, and from Andy on down, I think everybody's trying to step it up a notch. You know, his motto of mindset, I think, is really, really important. And then he has a unique way of filtering that into his leaders, the Patricks, the Travis, the Chris, the Nick, and you can kind of see that.
So that was some of what Steve Spagnuolo had to say after practice today. Don't forget our training camp coverage is presented by Break Time. Whether fueling up or grabbing a snack on the way to training camp, Break Time reminds you not all convenience stores are the same. Download their app and find a location near you. We're excited to be joined by Danion Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, of course, from the Chiefs Radio Network. He will be in Tampa on Saturday night here on 96.5 The Fan. I saw you last night at the Royals game. We were talking a little bit. It's good to have you back on the show. We'll start our weekly conversations with you here very soon. How was the offseason for you?
So first, I want to address the fact that you told me to leave the Royals game early. Why'd you tell me?
I didn't.
Told me to leave
walk
early.
Off win.
Walk off. I leave at the seventh inning stretch because I'm coachable, and you told me to leave. And the one game I've come to recently where we win. So
bad advice, man.
I know, right?
Look, I left in the bottom of the eighth.
Even worse.
I know.
You know, I thought the bottom of the eighth, it didn't happen then. I didn't know if they were going to walk it off in the ninth. I had to catch that one on the radio driving back home. But, look, training camp, as a player, I'm sure this is would have been one of your favorite days knowing that.
Yes.
You're basically done now. Tomorrow's a light practice, mm-hmm. and it's obviously Military Appreciation Day. But at this point in time, what are these players feeling like?
They're feeling like they can finally exhale. You got one preseason game in your pocket. You are now about to break camp. You're going to go on the road. You kind of get the experience of, especially the rookies, okay, what does a road game look like? I remember what it looks like in college, but what does it look like at the pro level? And, you know, from getting on the buses to having your assigned seats on the plane to the plane food, all the things that maybe the general fan doesn't take into consideration that factors into the product that you put on the field. The hotel set up, your roommates, if you have roommates, who doesn't have roommates. So a lot of that comes into play. And then also the feeling of being able to break camp. And if you have family or a spouse or what have you, kids that are back in Kansas City, that you'll actually get to see them for a little bit before jettisoning off to Tampa Bay. So, you know, it's a cool experience. The fact that they're having this cool weather, you know, is awesome, and I know that's what they relish too.
When you look at, like, the roster overall, how are you feeling about their position this year versus last year? And I guess how much of last year do you look back and say it was a talent issue or an execution issue or some combination? You know, like, how do you view last year's problems? You know, was it just they didn't have enough guys?
Yeah, I think it's a mixture. I think it's always a mixture of talent and execution. You consider the year before when we were trying to go for that three-peat in Super Bowl runs, we were 12-0 between regular season and postseason, 12-0 in one-score games. Last year, I believe we were 1-8. So that's the difference between – it's such a small window of difference between being a great team or being a strongly competitive playoff team and being a team that's 6-11 and sent home in the second week of January. So I feel like the execution part is in part of that, but then there was also some personnel and players just not making plays. And I've said it throughout the offseason, being 6-11 was better than being 9-8 or 10-7. Because you can't, what do they say, put lipstick on a pig?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, you know, it forces you
to. The pig is 6-11, right? And you can't pretty that up. And if you have any kind of competitive juices in your body as a player, as a coach, as a front office for the Chiefs, you look at that and you're sick, especially with where we were coming from. And I don't know if you would have that same kind of sick feeling if you were 10-7 and just barely missed the playoffs or lost in the wild card round. So I feel like there's a chip on the shoulder of guys. There are, whether it's off the field stuff, whether it's back from injury, whether it's age, whether it's lack of top shelf production last year. Several of these guys that will represent the Chiefs on Monday Night Football against the Broncos have something to prove. And I like having that kind of aura around this team.
We got Dane and Hughes joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. I can't have Yana not ask about these wide receivers. And Cyrus Allen, I feel like every single day we've been here, there's a moment that catches your attention. I'm sure you saw the one-on-one catch against Mansoor Delane. What do you see from him right now?
So what I see is extreme confidence, and I really like that. And one of the things, you know, obviously being a former wide receiver and being in the booth with Chiefs Radio Network now 7 years, my eyes always gravitate to the wide receivers. That's my position. What they're doing right, what they're not doing so right. And one thing that I thought was kind of a detriment to that group is winning your basic 9 routes on the outside of the numbers. Can you line up and be on the outside of the numbers going against a DB and bump and run or off coverage and running out, run a hitch, run a comeback, run a dig, run a post, run a go, all of the curl route, all of the basic fundamental route tree that you have as a receiver? And I don't think we really were as good as we need to be at the NFL level last year in doing that. Now, how you counter that is having who I call the mad scientist of offense and Andy Reid scheming you up. Because if you can't win outside, let's scheme you up with pick routes and crossing routes and all of these different intricate game plans, and we'll get you the ball that way. There's only but so much of that you can do. And I feel like Cyrus Allen, to me, brings a different nuance of route running that I don't think we've seen from a lot of the guys in recent time.
It might just be, you know, it's social media clips, so I'll take your word for it, Mort. Mm-hmm. Is release a big part of that? That seems to be the thing that everybody is complimenting him the most on, mm-hmm. is the ability to just get off the line. That first move, that's what makes guys like Puka Nacua or other guys great, is their ability to just get free. You don't have to be the fastest or tallest guy. Can you get loose?
You got to be able to create separation. Now, you can be a big receiver like Cortland Sutton,
Create that through running into a guy.
Yeah, running into a guy or pushing off at the last moment. We see that from George Pickens and the bigger receivers. But if you're not going to have that size and the ability to create separation down the field, you got to be able to be short and quick and be able to create separation at the line of scrimmage. And that's what I see from Cyrus. I think he has done a phenomenal job in garnering the attention and the confidence of Patrick Mahomes. And I think that's huge as a wide receiver.
Rashee Rice, I know – again, social media is one thing. People are making a big deal the first couple days of practice. They thought he looked maybe like he was overweight or whatever. Was it just maybe not being in football shape initially? What are you seeing from Rashee Rice out there? Do you think he's caught up now?
I think he's caught up now, and it doesn't take much. When you're an elite athlete like he is and you go through the rehab process and off-the-field issues, you're not going to be in top shape coming to training camp. Heck, back in the day, the players used training camp to get in shape. They came in overweight, and I had teammates that would come in overweight, and by the end of training camp, they were, specimens. So I don't put a lot of stock in it. I think he recognizes what it takes to be a pro on the field. And if there's no one else on this team that has to prove something this year, it is Rashee Rice. And if I had mentioned about, I'd done a speaking engagement talking about his mindset and how you bounce back from some of the issues you've had off the field. And to me, as a parent, as a guy that used to coach, as a guy that's been coachable throughout his career, you come to a situation where you look in the mirror and you say, okay, like, is it enough? Is the distractions and the issues and the money I've had to spend and all of the different things, is that enough? And how can I get back to being a top elite wide receiver? And I feel like this is the time now. So there's nothing that tells me different right now, and time will tell, but I like what I see from him as well. He had a couple of drops today in traffic, which I think that's a part of his game that he needs to be better at. We can go back to games last year where we literally lost momentum because of key drops in traffic. So he's got to be better at that.
Patrick looked the same to you?
Oh, yeah.
Been dialed in for a couple of these.
I love watching him move to the left.
Yesterday when he just stopped and then ripped one?
Yeah. Move to the left, flip your hips. He's throwing across the grain. Touch passes over the heads of linebackers in front of safeties. Had the one-handed catch by Travis Kelce in the red zone earlier in practice. So it shows you that he still has that ability to find the short windows and trust his receivers and tight ends and running backs. I don't know if you guys have heard anything, if he's going to play a little bit this week or.
I'm hoping no, with no Joshua Simmons and no Trey Smith. I don't know why.
I don't think we're going to see
Andy
him at
won't,
all.
Andy won't give the story until tomorrow. He has hinted at the idea that maybe the third preseason game, I think, is the read between the lines. But unless the offensive line's healthy, it might just be the first time I don't make him throw a pass before the season starts.
Yeah, the only thing that concerns me about that is the rust factor, but then also. You're going to throw him to the Wolves, literally Nick Bonito and that pass rush for the Denver Broncos on Monday Night Football, and that'd be the first time he's ever touched. So, again, I don't want him to get touched in the preseason. I'd rather him come in for a series and we run three plays and he darts out. Maybe he runs a screen pass where he doesn't get touched. But to think about the first time you're going to be tackled or hit or pushed around or anything is against the Broncos, that is something that concerns me.
Danan Hughes, part of the Chiefs Radio Network, color analyst, along there with Mitch Holthus and Josh Klingler. They'll be on the broadcast this Saturday down in Tampa. We were looking at the weather last night. Might need your poncho. Well, I guess you won't need the poncho. You're in the
booth. Josh will.
Kling might need the poncho. Kling might need the poncho. Danan.
Oh, darn it.
Great to see you. Thanks for coming on the show. We'll start having Danan on a weekly basis here very soon throughout the football season. Up next, guys, we'll get to what's trending. We'll also have some camp questions. And Nate Taylor from ESPN will stop by.